On the phone with me now is Lynn Blanchard. She is the brains behind justiceforbrad.com, and she keeps a blog there as well. The website and the blog were dedicated to exposing what she says are the facts, the overlooked facts of the Brad Cooper murder case. And now that Brad Cooper has been granted a new trial, we are pleased to welcome Lynn to the show. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am interested in a lot of things, a lot of questions I have coming out of your site. First of all, the fact that Brad Cooper got a new murder case, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say got a new murder case, got a new trial. Is that success, or for you, will success only be him being acquitted?
It's a big win because, I mean, you just never know how, you know, an appeal is going to turn out.
Sure.
And the ruling was very strong, and it was unanimous, so we're very pleased. It's the one big hurdle
that
we overcame. So,
for you, was just him getting the new trial, is that enough for you to say we have justice, or does he need to be acquitted?
No, we're definitely a long way off.
Yeah.
We have to go through another trial, and at this point, the state has an option to have it reviewed by the Supreme Court, so we have to wait and see what they do with that as well.
So we are still in kind of a state of limbo here.
Yeah, kind of. But this is a really big deal.
Sure.
And, you know, it was exactly what we were hoping for. It took 2.5 years to get the decision finally here. So, you know, it definitely couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, so you celebrate where you can. This has been,
right,
for you and other supporters of Brad, this has obviously been a long process, and like you said, that this is some good news. Finally, I wonder, how did you first become interested in this case and involved?
It was just by chance. It was around the third day of the trial, and I was on RAL, and I saw that they were streaming the trial, so I thought, oh, I'm just going to take a look and see what's going on with this, and I started watching it and got interested in it and ended up watching the whole trial, so, you know, at the end of it, and I kept waiting, where's the evidence? I never saw any evidence, and then I started thinking, this guy's innocent. He must be innocent. They don't have anything. And then all of the, you know, information came out about the Google search, and, you know, I saw that the experts weren't allowed to testify. And so after seeing all of that, and, you know, and then the verdict, the guilty verdict, I was in such a state of shock that I said, I have to do something. And, you know, I started, that's how we formed the website and an LLC to try to raise some funds for Brad. And I started blogging, and I just wanted to get the information out there as much as I could.
It's interesting. I mean, it's not unlike, it started in a way that I think so many people have an interest in, whether it is trials specifically or shows about murder trials, you know, the stuff that you would find on like Investigation Discovery 48
right.
Hours. It's interesting that it started that way, and you are one of the rare people that decided to take it a step further.
Yes, because I'm not a trial follower. This is the first trial I ever watched. And, you know, I don't participate in all of those fights and discussions about cases. And this one just, it caught my attention, and I just couldn't believe the injustice, and I had to do something about it. So,
given the emotional reaction people have had to Nancy Cooper's murder, Brad Cooper's trial, I would imagine you have gotten some pretty interesting email ever since you founded the site.
Yeah, actually, when it first started, I got, you know, quite a few negative comments. But as time went on, and, you know, I would always try to have a thoughtful discussion, you know, just to keep stating the facts, people really started to come around, and I don't get them anymore. They've really stopped. I don't get negative comments anymore.
It would seem like people who are, you know, react just to the site being up there, the people that would react to, oh my goodness, there's anybody out there in Brad Cooper's corner, it seems like they probably have moved on to other things by now.
I don't think that's the case. I think
no.
People have come around. I think people now see this injustice. And, you know, from reading the website and the blog and just other people that followed the trial, I mean, having this trial streamed live was really, it really made a big difference, I think, in public perception of what happened in this case. So there's not a big movement out there that's, oh, you know, this case, Brad Cooper's guilty, and no, a lot of people question it. You'd be surprised. A lot of people do.
So let's talk about some of the evidence you say was overlooked. Your website points to a few things that I find interesting. I'd like for you to go into the story for our listeners that may not be familiar with the details of the case. First of all, Nancy Cooper's BlackBerry, her cell phone, which may or may not have had a lot of evidence on it, was just outright destroyed.
Yes, yes. And what happened was the defense attorney sent Cary Police a preservation letter saying, please take careful, good care of all digital evidence, including cell phones, computers, and everything. Well, 10 days later, the detective erased the phone and damaged the SIM card.
Hmm.
So that no data could ever be retrieved. But not only that, they didn't even inform the defense that they did this until 11 months later, which was past the privacy policy then, where you could obtain the forensic-level detailed call log.
Right.
So I think that was pretty malicious. I mean, to me, it just didn't seem right. Why didn't they, why didn't they inform them right away? We really messed this up. And really, the investigator shouldn't have been touching the phone to begin with, because he wasn't skilled in forensics, and they have people that are. So,
at the very least, yeah. There's no good answer for it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Another thing you mentioned on the site is the Google Maps and the timestamp on these computer files that you think show that these were planted files, not genuine files showing where Nancy Cooper's body was found.
Yes, that's correct. And if you wanted me to explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, please do.
There are a few things that show for sure that these files were planted. To begin, the cursor files, okay, they showed identical timestamps. Now, a cursor file, it's a dynamic search, so you're moving your mouse, so the timestamps should update. They should,
right.
They should change, but they didn't. They were identical. That was actually part of the trial that, the defense attorney wanted to have the state expert duplicate that search in the middle of the trial, and the judge refused to allow him to do that, saying that, it could jeopardize national security. So that was a big basis of the appeal. So the timestamps was one issue. Another thing was that the timestamps, there were multiple invalid timestamps. In fact, all of the timestamps associated with the search were invalid, all 100% of them. One of the possible reasons for invalid timestamps is if something is dropped onto a machine.
Hmm.
So that's a huge red flag right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was no cookie. There was no cookie. There should be a cookie for every search.
Right.
There was no deleted cookie. They looked for a deleted cookie. There was no cookie and no deleted cookie. The cookie is what they take to Google and say, hey, what IP address did the search and what time frame? So that wasn't there. In addition to that, the search itself was 42 seconds. And it wasn't panning around and searching. It was a beeline. It went from the zip code straight to the area over Fielding Drive. And then it zoomed in 6 times. And then the browser closed. So that's an unlikely search for somebody looking for a place to dump a body.
Right.
And then finally, just one more point I want to get
up. Please.
This is really important. They never third-party verified the search. The FBI told Cary Police to third-party verify it. And you can do that either through Google or you can do it through Cisco, because the search allegedly happened at Cisco. So their servers would have had it. They didn't. They just didn't do it, even though they've done that in other cases.
Wow, that is crazy to just outright ignore an order from the FBI like that. Before I let you go, the very top of the website sort of explains why you felt so passionately about this. It just says, in a rush to judgment by police, a clique of friends, and a community, an innocent man has been accused, tried, and wrongfully convicted of first-degree murder. Tell me a little bit about the rush to, I guess maybe rush to judgment is really what I want to talk about. Did you feel like as you learn more and more about the case that not just police. You mentioned a clique of friends and a community. Do you feel like the people closest to the Cooper family just immediately decided Brad was guilty and there was no other possible suspect?
Oh, yes, definitely. The person that made the phone call to police from the start, she was hysterical. Mm. Her friend had only been missing for a couple hours. She raced over to the house and she told everybody, don't talk to police. And that's suspicious to me. I think that her story should have been checked out a little bit. And then she gave police all this information about, you know, the detergent that the Coopers bought and the fact that their daughter wouldn't have asked for green juice. And, you know, Nancy never wore her necklace. Nancy always wore her necklace. And Nancy wouldn't go jogging without her phone. I mean, all of these things. And the defense disputed every single one of them. So they just trusted this woman. And, you know, they just felt they had their guy to begin with. And they never investigated the case like they should have. So that's why we're here now. That's why I'm still working on this case. So.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. JusticeForBrad.com is the place to go if you want to read Lynn Blanchard's blog and find out more about the case as it moves forward in the appeals process. Lynn Blanchard, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.